Welcome back. Hour number two on this Friday night. Okay, well, last week we were waiting to see how the rollout would be received by the sheeple, and it began to be administered to them on Monday. And I guess the most obvious word at this point, is it going to last? I don't know. But the word that seems most applicable is the beginnings of an avalanche of people rolling up their sleeves, which suggests the obvious. No matter how many people have been ruthlessly butchered and murdered, the sheeple haven't learned their lesson. They haven't connected the obvious dots, and they don't have to be alt news aficionados to figure it out. Everyone is suffering after the first round of shots was rolled out, not before. And the first round of shots now have been pronounced useless, worthless, outdated, and forget about it. Thanks a lot for taking all those shots and for dying and for suffering lifelong massive injuries. But the shots, 1 through 5, 1 through 6, they're old, they're passe, they're archaic, they're out of business. You got to get the new one. And so people are rolling up their sleeves and getting the new ones. You there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff.
All right, we did some research today and called a number of stores. We called Rite Aid. We called CVS. We called Walgreens. And I called one Walmart pharmacies in each case to find out what was going on. And what we heard, and we'll give you the details, was not encouraging. And we called both coasts, west and east, and you can figure out that it's all the same in the middle. And it was, I guess, shocking. Is that the word? What's the word?
Yes, it was stunning. Flabbergasting.
For openers, where can we start? I guess we can start with Rite Aid just for fun. They're booking. Most of these places are booking appointments. You can't just walk in anymore. You have to book an appointment. All right. Rite Aid is apparently giving about 40 to 50 a day. Yeah. Figure that's what? You got an 8-hour day, 4 per hour. That's 32. Yeah, I think they're open 10 hours a day. So they're giving out about 7 or 8 shots a day. I don't know, an hour? I don't know. They're giving 40 or 50 a day.
Yeah, they have a slot every 15 minutes for somebody.
That's it. Next, we called, I'm saving the best for last, we called Walgreens. And I don't know if you remember the ratio there. They do take appointments one every 15 minutes on an 8 to 10
hour day. Yeah, so that was about the same as Rite Aid. But the two places that we, was it two or was it three? They were warning that their supply was petering out and that they would likely
already
be, yes, by the end of the weekend they would be completely gone. And then the next available batch wouldn't be available, I think they said, until October. Did I hear that right?
That was one place said they were going to run out. I didn't hear that anywhere else. But yes, one place said we're going to make it through the weekend and probably Monday or Tuesday we'll be out of inventory. So whatever they got is already being burned up by the sheep. They're there and they want their shots. Here's the big one, though. CVS. Now, I got an email from one of our listeners, and thanks to Phil for sending this in. He said, I had to stop at my local CVS to pick up prescriptions. The line was about 25 people long and the wait time about 25 minutes. This was due to the heavy volume of sheep getting their latest bioweapon upgrade. I counted 9 people getting their kill shots in that short period of time. I can only imagine the total for the day for that one store location. Absolutely mind-boggling that after all this the species has been through, there are so many who are truly lost to the programming being inflicted upon them. Please keep up the excruciating work, you and all your guests on the program. So thank you for that, Phil. Yes, CBS took the prize today. We talked to the guy, and we were both on the phone, and I forget, was this the pharmacist, or was this a...
No, it was a pharmacist.
Yeah, and I talked to two men today, and the rest were women, and both men were laughing. They were kind of smirking, chuckling, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. The CVS guy said, we're doing 3 shots every 15 minutes on an 8-hour day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's 12 an hour. 12 times 8 is 96. 96 per day is the CVS, that's the rate. Now, that pretty much echoes what Phil is suggesting in his email about what he observed. So it may be 100. So figure it out. This is going to be, at this point, at least initially, a runaway success. What is driving people in there to get these shots? They know people have been harmed by these first vaccines, their bioweapons. They have to know it. Too many people have been harmed.
Well,
at any rate,
the information that's coming out,
right?
That they are being associated, at the very least, with myocarditis, but now these turbo cancers?
I believe it was CVS that is, he said, you have to make an appointment. And I think it was CVS that is booked solid until October 24th.
No, I think that was Walgreens.
Was it Walgreens?
Yeah.
I may have it written on the wrong note here. I think you're right. All right,
but
at any rate.
It didn't matter. We called pharmacies on the East Coast, we called pharmacies on the West Coast, and it was virtually identical. Same situation.
Same. And two of the employees were just kind of laughing, chuckling at how crazy it is. So if CVS is cranking out about 100 a day, very close to it, if not, and Walgreens is booked appointment-wise until October 24th, can see this is going to be a runaway success, at least in the initial stages of the rollout. And the more that CDC people continue to state that the earlier shots are no longer effective, the more fear will be stirred up amongst the sheep. And they're showing up. They're being told their shots, they don't work anymore. You got to get the new one.
Didn't you, one of the pharmacies you called said that the demand was so brisk that they're going to have a...
Right. They call
what do they
it
call
a...
That?
Hold on, let me think.
Not an expo, but a...
No, like a community...
Health fair
anyway,
or something?
Yeah, they're going to open the door and just take
a booster
first come,
clinic.
First served. A clinic. A public clinic. That's right.
Yeah. And
so,
in case you don't have the insurance that will cover the cost of these, they're about $200 now, you can apply for a waiver, or they will apply for you so that you won't be denied.
No arm is denied.
Right.
No.
So evidently there is a charitable program being run by the CDC to make sure no one is deprived of the shot.
And paid for by the taxpayers.
Of course.
Don't kid yourselves. I went over to Rite Aid and stuck my head in the door to look around at the pharmacy today. And they have a room. It's kind of around the corner from the pharmacy front counter on the left. And you look in there and you can see it's a small room. It's probably 10 by 12. And it opens into the pharmacy, obviously. But that room has 3 or 4 chairs in it for people to sit and get their injections. And there was the lady waiting for next was, all white hair, 70-ish, and a little overweight, not fat. And she was taking off her little lightweight jacket. She had a nice little jacket on and getting ready to roll up her sleeve. And you want to just yell. But it doesn't do any good. They're beyond listening. They won't listen. These are not vaccinations, as I've said 1,000 times. never could be a vaccine. It's a deployed, non-experimental weapon. There's nothing experimental about these shots. They're doing what they're designed to do. Okay? You all got that. So, yeah, any other instances that you come across or see or note, if you want to send an email in, please do. I'd like to know. But we're very well confident that what we were able to do today tells the tale. They're lined up. At least Walgreens booked till October 24th. Figure that out. It's like everything
it's a head
we've done
scratcher.
Has fallen on deaf ears.
It is just utterly stunning.
Yeah. I honestly didn't think this would happen. I figured it would be kind of sluggish in the beginning and people would be hesitant and they'd have to offer incentives. And I did find out from somebody I know today that Albertsons, big supermarket chain out west here, I don't know if it's east or not, but they're offering 20% off your entire grocery shopping bill if you show proof of vaccination.
Oh, really?
Yep. Found that out this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
So that's just one. You're going to roll. They're going to roll with this. And if people, 20% off of my grocery bill, wow. The poor people are paying triple what they did 2 years ago. And a lot of people are going to take it.
Yep.
Oh, my. So frustrating. But most of you people, wherever you are around the world, get ready because they're going to roll the same thing out your way. You don't want it. We don't know yet what's in it. We can only guess and surmise by virtue of all the past work we've done that it's an augmented version of possibly the last go-round. But it does not, we know this, cover the most common of the three newest variants. It's back behind those. It's back on the XBB, Omicron variant.
That's officially the current,
what they're saying.
Right. The ones that are in circulation now, there's three, but they're all derivatives of that XBB, was it 1.5? But,
yes.
You know, that one's gone. They're saying that this will protect you against the circulating variants, but they have no testing to confirm that.
Wait a minute. No, it's not true. They know. Ask those 10 mice if they were tested. They'll tell you.
Oh, all they did is produce antibodies. That was the extent of the test. They had an immune response.
This is so bad.
It is.
It is so awful. My God. And I see all of these experts. We look at, like Erica looks at, heroically goes through these videos and audios. And the experts still are very hesitant, if absolutely in abject refusal, to identify this as a bioweapon. Forget the idea of even remotely using the term vaccine. They are designed to kill people and harm them. But very few are saying that. They just don't want to go there.
The only one saying that, really, rather boldly, is Mike Eden, John O'Looney. Can we think of anyone else?
No. Us. Yeah, we played Mike Eden last week, and you can go listen to that program. He's very courageous. He's not playing games anymore. He's seen the light. Former director of science for Pfizer, vice president of the corporation. No, he's talk about 180 degrees. The lights have come on. He's aware. I hope his health is good, and I hope he's careful. He's doing a lot of talking. And remember, he was interviewed by Steve Kirsch. That was a clip we played. And Kirsch, revealing for all to see where his loyalties lie and his real geopolitics are, he said to Mike Eden at one point, he said, well, if what you're saying is true, why wasn't that on the BBC? He actually said that. With a straight face. So there you go. All right, we have a couple things for you, more than that. Let's jump into this. You want to set it up with Dr. William Mackus? Ready to go.
Yeah, so William Mackus is again speaking out about these turbo cancers that he's seeing. And in this interview with Del Bigtree on the High Wire, he goes into a little bit more detail than just vaguely describing what he's seeing. It really is shocking when you hear the individual cases and how young some of these people are. The fact that these cancers are turning up in pregnant women, young kids, and then just the speed at which the diagnosis is made to these people's demise, which is quite often death. They don't know how to treat it, primarily because they haven't figured out what's the primary mechanism that's causing it to behave this way. And it's probably multiple. But nonetheless, these people are don't have a lot of options for treatment, much less time for treatment.
No, they can't even formulate an approach to it. You told me that one, what was it, a young kid? Somebody, one day from diagnosis to death.
Yeah, it was a 16-year-old. I think he profiles it in this clip or somewhere in this interview. 16 years old, feeling just, vaguely unwell. And went to the doctor or the hospital and was diagnosed with a type of leukemia and was dead within 24 hours.
This is, dear friends, if you remember back to the CCP leaked video, Chinese Communist Party, CCP leaked video, where the guy who was handling this conference, there were six people on the right side of the screen, he was on the left. Somebody asked him about the Americans, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, he said, the Americans? He said, don't worry about the Americans. Every one of them who took a shot is going to die. That's what he said. Now, we certainly hope that isn't the case. But that's the feeling of at least one of the upper middle level CCP bigwigs who was holding a conference, a video conference. All right, here's a clip from The High Wire and Del Bigtree with Dr. William Mackus on turbo cancers.
Yeah, they've come after my license. I'm one of the few doctors who can actually speak out about the breadth of the COVID vaccine injuries that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And especially now with the turbo cancers, I'm trying to report as many of these cases as possible, try to alert people. Look, these turbo cancers, they're happening in pregnant women. They're happening in young kids, as I said, as young as 12 years old, but high school kids are coming down with these cancers. The turbo cancers, I'm seeing lymphomas, I'm seeing brain cancers, stage 4 brain cancers, and then breast cancers, colon cancers, lung cancers. The leukemias that are showing up in the COVID vaccinated individuals, they can kill in a matter of days or even hours. I've reported several cases where young kids, 13 years old, 16 years old, they feel unwell, they go to emergency, and the doctors discover that they have leukemia, and then they die a few hours later. These are tragic stories, and oncologists are they're not talking about it. There's only a Professor Daglish in St. George's University in London, United Kingdom, who's sounding the alarm, and he has seen his patients who are stable, cancer patients who took a COVID booster shot, and suddenly their cancer is growing out of control, and so he's sounding the alarm. But doctors are being persecuted for speaking up and for causing vaccine hesitancy.
How bad do you think it is? I mean, when you look at it, in that video, he said, look, I think it'll still be rare, but it's going to probably be high enough we should be looking at it. What is your sense? I mean, are we, we're seeing all-cause mortality sort of skyrocketing worldwide. We're not sure what our numbers are here because somehow America doesn't know how to collect data. But when we look around, somewhere between 10 to 40% rise, especially in this group you're talking about, young people, 18 to right around 24, I think it's like 18 to 24 is the highest, rising group of all-cause mortality around the world. Do you feel like when I watch the booster being rolled out and I see them just everybody go out and get it and the idea of everybody getting it, how many million? I mean, what is the vaccine uptake in Canada? I think it's like 82-83% or something.
It's about
like that.
84-85%.
So, what does our world look like 5 years from now?
Well, so here's the interesting situation.
How about January 1st, 2025? What will the world, the United States of America, as the world, what will that look like on that date? Those, of course, are the Deagle projections, and they're beginning to look potentially more realistic all the time.
Think of the booster shots has cratered. Yeah. So in terms of Canadians taking booster shots, it's only about 5-6% of Canadians have taken a booster in the last 6 months. Okay. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
The bad news is that these long-term effects that we're now seeing, and I truly believe that this turbo cancer is going to be a long-term effect because the trend seems to be increasing.
Yeah.
So although the booster uptake has dropped, these turbo cancers, there's more and more of them that I'm seeing. I'm reporting hundreds of them. There are probably thousands, tens of thousands of these cancers. You go on any of the social media platforms and you just see endless cases of people reporting these cancers. So my worry is that this is going to be a long-term trend that we're going to be stuck with, and we're going to be discovering more and more. There's more and more cases being published of turbo cancers, and so that's, you know, making people aware of the problem. But we're not even researching really the mechanisms of what is the exact mechanism causing these cancers. And if we don't know the mechanism, we can't treat these cancers. So right now, oncologists have no treatments to offer these patients.
Okay, let me pause it there. Now, we've tried to explain this in some detail over a long period of time as how these bioweapon injections disable, disarm, and destroy the body's normal anti-cancer frontline of defense techniques, P53 and so forth. But this cancer seems to be even worse than that. It's almost as if there's some other driver in it that makes it absolutely indomitable. It can't be stopped. First, you disarm the body to open the door. Then you introduce this. If Dr. Makis is correct, and I'm sure he is, oncologists can't even come up with an approach to begin to treat these cancers. They are that vicious. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, the protein that's being produced, the spike protein, is oncogenic because it interferes with the function of P53 and BRCA1. And then the transfection process is immune suppressive. And it seems to persist for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. What would they say? What's the latest thing? That they've detected the spike from the vaccine being produced for, was it 167 days, so half a year, 6 months?
I think it's up to 2 years in some projections.
That's the infection. You can find viral debris from the infection if you were to get the whole virus.
Virus.
Yeah.
Yes.
But with this transfection technology, it doesn't seem to go away.
And no. Once you've taken that liquid nanoparticle, that LNP, and the mRNA instructions into your body's cells, you're stuck with them. Now, ultimately, those cells will die, but apparently the body now has been caught replicating the mRNA through bacteria go ahead.
Those cells may not die because the interference with the P53. The P53 protein is what would cause the cell to commit suicide because it's
triggers
been damaged.
The apoptosis. Got it.
Right. And then there's also DNA repair pathways that are not able to commence. So you've got a damaged cell that's replicating, and then you've got other environmental conditions within the cell, the lack of oxygen, accumulating iron, that vascular endothelial growth factor that will enable a tumor to acquire a blood supply. These are all favorable conditions for generating cancer, metastases. And there's no way of shutting it down if the cells that are responsible for surveilling and eliminating aberrant cells are damaged or not there. You know, a lot of these people have low CD8 counts. Those are natural killer cells or T cells, killer T cells. They're just not there.
Do we still think that the DNA plasmids are going into E. coli, among other bacteria, in the digestive tract and causing or allowing for the replication to some degree of the mRNA instructions that are actually
Yes, that's on the table too. I mean, nobody's confirmed it or done the experiment to prove it, but that's definitely a possibility. And then the DNA can, or the plasmid DNA can get into human cells.
Right.
And essentially cause them to become mutated.
What we're talking about here, I hate to say this, is the end of the line for a lot of people. They're just not going to beat this.
I can't see how.
This is beyond my comprehension as to how the body could come up with something to stop it. It's unstoppable. It's the ultimate kill shot. And if that CCP guy was right, they know something that very few people over here do. This is an unstoppable death sentence for a lot of people. My God.
Well, and it seems to have redundancy built into it. So if one mechanism fails, then there's another possibility and another and another.
It's some too many fallback positions. You just, once you've got this stuff in you and it sets up shop, it doesn't look like you're going to get rid of it. It just doesn't. And no detox bath is going to work. None of these things. No CDS, MMS, forget it. No EDTA, forget it. You're genetically toast. You're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, these things are, you know, I know they're well-intentioned and maybe they help some symptoms, but they can't correct the genetic changes,
that's
epigenetic changes, and the direct genetic damage that's happened.
And symptomology is really the, I guess, the most relevant field for most medical doctors now, trying to relieve symptoms and help people. Now, the
irony is, that's what they're really left with.
Here's the big irony, though. This shot also disables the body's normal response symptomology to cases of illness. Think about that. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit more about that. The body no longer will generate symptoms. So you got symptoms, good, and you'll get treated for them, maybe get some relief. But this shot, among other things, disables your body's ability to create symptoms for various illnesses and conditions of poor health.
Right, that's those types of symptoms, the fever, aches and pains, just feeling tired, those are symptoms of the innate immune system, nonspecific, going to work, trying to rid something from the body. But that, a lot of that comes from interferon. And with these shots and sometimes just with the spike protein itself, that part of the immune system is turned off, so you're not likely to get symptoms. And I think Dr. Mackis mentioned something to that effect when it comes to cancer. These people don't know they have cancer.
We've heard Nurse Ann say the same thing. My God, yeah.
You know, people will turn up in the emergency room for something, and then the cancer will be discovered when
during
working.
The workup.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Dr. Mackis here. So, dear friends, I don't know what to say because we have a lot of people listening who have been vaxxed, and I don't sit here and take any consolation in scaring anybody. That's not what I'm here for. But these are facts. And God only knows what they've done in this new, brand new vaccine. We have no idea.
I shudder to think.
Try standard chemo. They try standard radiation therapy treatments, and they're not working. So these turbo cancers are resistant to conventional treatments. Doctors usually have nothing to offer. And if the prognosis is so poor that the patient dies usually between 6 to 12 months from diagnosis, they have no treatment options available to them.
I know you've written over 100 papers in your career on the subject of cancer. You've been doing some work with Dr. Peter McCullough. He has a recent paper out with some photos I thought were really pretty shocking. Let's take a look at this. Is Bell's palsy or an aggressive infiltrating basaloid carcinoma post-mRNA vaccination for COVID-19? This sort of just looked at this as, I guess, the ear and face of this gentleman. This is the mechanism, you know, of how it works. It sort of gives you the flow chart. And everybody, you're going to get this if you are signed up to our newsletter so you can get all the data. But, you know, it starts out with this pulse, like his eyes drooping, his face is drooping. Clearly there's issues. And then it kind of just seems to get worse and worse and worse, as you're saying. You know, it's just, this is like a horror movie, what happened to this guy. That's inside of his head. You can see it's, you know, obviously growing, swelling, all sorts of issues. It's just really, it's just amazing to me that there's so much detail in this now. We're seeing images like this, studies being done. These aren't, you know, it's not like some crazy group of people, like really top scientists. I think there was one other study we've shown before, which was just a before and after of the accumulation of cancer. This is the rapid progression of angioimmunoblastic T-cell lymphoma following the Pfizer vaccine booster shot, a case report. And in this, look at this, folks. Look at the before and after. Those little black dots represent sort of the cancers, and just it explodes inside this person's body. So
this was a very important case because this was one of the first cases of turbo cancer ever published. And it was a 66-year-old man who had two Pfizer shots, 5 months later develops lymph nodes in the neck, and they diagnose him with a lymphoma. And at the time, the doctors didn't realize that there could be any connection between the two Pfizer vaccines he took and his lymphoma. And so in preparation for his chemotherapy, they said, we're going to give you a Pfizer booster shot. And so they gave him the Pfizer booster shot to protect him during chemotherapy. And within a few days, he feels his neck nodes just swell up. And they...
So I see. So that's why you see cancer in him in the first one. That's after two shots. No one knows. He gets the third one, and it just explodes overnight throughout his whole body.
And so they decide, you know, I mean, we've done imaging recently, but let's just do another image just in case to have a good baseline just before we start your chemotherapy. And they do the second image. And they see to their horror that the cancer has just exploded. And this is 8 days after his Pfizer booster shot.
Wow.
And the cancer, so the original tumors grew to much larger size, and then there were new lymph nodes, you know, in the axilla, in the abdomen, and in the groin area as well. So the cancer had spread all over his body in a matter of 8 days. And they published it, and it's really, it's the first example and first imaging example that we had of what these turbo cancers look like and what they could do.
When we think of timing, 8 days, how long would you normally, if you're going to watch somebody that was going to sort of evolve into that position, how long should that take for a cancer like that that's in your lymph node?
Well, that could take a couple of years. Certainly, it would take many months. When you look at the first image, it took 5 months to get to the first image, and he already had two Pfizer vaccines, but then you add the booster into the picture, and that's just 8 days, his cancer explodes. And, you know, we come back to this idea of the more shots you take, the more damage your immune system takes. And I think that was what the Cleveland Clinic study showed well.
Yeah.
More doses, more immune system damage, and, you know, the more aggressive your cancer can be now that you've completely destroyed your immune system's surveillance of cancer.
Amazing. I mean, it's really shocking. And I just think you watch these people promoting it, and it's hard to not
completely destroy your immune systems, surveilling your body for cancer. What do these people, it sounds like they don't have a chance. That's what it sounds like.
With what we observed earlier today with these calls to these pharmacies, this is just,
right.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it.
It's we're watching, again, front row seats, we're watching a species literally committing suicide.
They're exterminating themselves.
They are absolutely doing that. It's mind-boggling. It doesn't make sense, but it's happening. All right, here's some more.
I think, man, so many people are just going to walk off a cliff on this. They're just listening to the experts. Luckily, as you said, the booster shot is I think we're under 10% receiving boosters, but that's also why they're trying to change the language, right? Let's get back to calling it a seasonal vaccine. Do you think that's going to work in Canada? Imagine going to try and do the same thing. Let's get off of calling it a booster. It's your seasonal. It's just like your flu shot.
You know, there's probably going to be a subset of the population who will take, these new booster shots and will take them every year. But I think the more we expose the dangers of these vaccines and of these shots, hopefully the more people will realize, you know, there's something very wrong here.
You know, that's a very nice thing to say, but as many of you know, we've been sitting here for almost 3 years, going on close to 3 years, telling people exactly that. And they know, even through osmosis, that these are not good shots. They know there's a controversy, and yet they keep taking them. So
The ludicrous thing is that you can get a COVID shot, one of these transfection platforms, Pfizer, Moderna, along with a flu shot or a shingles shot or what else was there?
RSV?
I don't know if that's out yet. It's coming. Uh-huh. But the thing is, the transfection requires that the immune system, a part of the immune system, is turned off temporarily. Supposed to be temporary, it seems to be permanent, so that this foreign protein can be produced, so that you can trick your body into producing this foreign protein. And then at the same time, you're
spike.
Injecting a, influenza, which I believe is maybe killed or might be attenuated depending on which one you get, and you're expected to mount an immune response to that. Well, what are the chances?
With what?
Yeah, with what, exactly. So I don't know. This flu shot may be part of this next shenanigan, this current shenanigan that they're doing with this new COVID shot. You know, maybe we're looking at the wrong thing. Maybe they've got some kind of a attenuated flu virus that, you know, in an immune-suppressed person is not going to be so attenuated.
You could be right. We just
I don't know. Yet. You know, and anything's on the table.
Here's a little bit more.
And part of what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to alert people to what these vaccines are doing, you know, especially on the cancer side. This is a tsunami of problems that we're facing. And most people don't realize that this is a risk. And even oncologists are not realizing this is a risk because oncologists are giving the new booster shots to their cancer patients, thinking that they're protecting them. Meanwhile, they're probably accelerating their underlying cancer.
That's just that's just too much. That is too much.
What do they teach in medical school these days? Anything worthwhile?
I have a friend who has been fighting lung cancer for 6-8 years and was doing well. And then his oncologist had, and I implored him, do not ever even think about taking these shots. And this is about 1.5 years ago, and his oncologist said, yeah, you need this. Gave it to him right in the office.
Mm.
So, yeah, they're doing it. There's an incredible amount of denial involved here among doctors. They don't want to hear anything about what we cover.
Oh, they're completely indoctrinated.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's, I think, enough of that. I think we got to the punchline there. Is there any more? That's 10.
That probably does it. It's a good interview, you know, if you want to get into
we'll
the nitty-gritty of these turbo cancers.
We'll post this in our archive and put it under our names and guests as well and give you the start point. You can look at the whole thing, of course. This is about 10
you know, the
of,
other,
the
yeah, the other thing that's entering into this turbo cancer thing now is the revelation that pretty much all of them, without exception, Moderna and Pfizer, are contaminated with these DNA plasmids and or linearized DNA, both, with the SV40 promoter. It's not the full virus, but that simian virus 40 promoter and enhancer, which guarantees that this material makes its way into the nucleus of the cell and could very easily integrate. And then you've got a problem. You've got a real problem, as if you didn't have a problem already. But that almost seals the deal.
It does. That's a good term. I don't know what to tell people, knowing what all of you know if you've paid attention and are listening regularly. This is now moving to a point of, if you took those shots, you're unless you got a bad batch or a good batch, so to speak, you're in real dire straits. This is not going to end happily for apparently most of the people who took these shots.
No, and I really feel for the people that, you know, woke up a little bit too late.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what to make of these people that are still
I don't know.
Running to these pharmacies to be injected again.
I saw them myself physically today. We heard about them. CVS is cranking out 100 vax people a day with the new vaccine, because the other ones are worthless now, because their variants, et cetera, are gone. It's not the point. It's not a vaccine. It has nothing to do with variants. It's a kill shot.
Yep. There's no doubt in my mind.
It doesn't protect you from anything. Nothing. All right, we've got some readers here. Let's go jump in. You found some sickeningly informative things to read, so let's go to those. I've got the regular file is up now. So
okay.
We got one.
Well, this is
nine.
Just to confirm that now that this thing has been out for about a week, we are getting reports of people who have experienced shedding from those who have been injected this week.
Go ahead with Suzanne.
Okay.
That's the first one.
I just had my second shedding incident, resulting in an extremely sore throat. My vaxxed brother was sitting next to me and coughing. I was oblivious at the time. Next morning, mild sore throat. 2 days later, very bad. Today, I just had an episode in the toilet, nausea, fever, diarrhea, and a frightening thing happened with buzzing going down my arms. I think I went a bit bluish as well. Very frightening. Has anyone else experienced this?
Wow. All right, the next one, if that isn't bad enough. Yesterday, I got shed on so badly. Worst of my life so far. I've been doing okay the last several months due to the supplements and daily nicotine use. But yesterday was something else. All the stabbing pains all over my body and back. Happens mostly in my legs and tongue. Bizarre. I hate these vaxxed sheep who keep getting injected. And there's one more short one after that. There's no coincidence that many of us are experiencing the same on the same day. Maybe it's not the vax this time. We all didn't fall ill at the same time previously due to shedding, but I've read countless reports of people falling ill in the past day or several. So he's up on that. Go ahead, number four.
Yesterday, the shot started again. I felt all right as long as I kept my distance from the jabbed. Now, today, that the jabbing campaign has started here, people got the invite for the flu shot and COVID shot. My throat is sore, and the headaches and nausea are back. I had this a bit under control. Full blast. The smell is the same. Horrendous. I'm worried because my periods are a problem. I'm scared they are going to get worse now because of the new shots. The nausea and headaches are back. It is criminal what is happening. I'm very upset right now. I'm sorry. Have a great day.
All right. Another one. Wait, says somebody, there's a new vaccine released in Australia? I'm heading for the hills this time, if that's true. In Germany, too, says someone, the rollout just began. And the next comment to that, they're rolling out new boosters worldwide. All the sheeple will be running to the nearest injection point with their masks on. Best to stay far, far, very far away from them. Period. This new booster will be worse than what they have already got themselves injected with, worse for them, and they'll be shedding even more intensely, which is obviously the worst for us. This is not good.
I hadn't put two and two together. I had no idea there was a vax rollout, but I had noticed an increase in heart palpitations and discomfort for the past day or two.
I dare you. Some of the language in these things are, we don't use it here. Go ahead.
Next person says, my husband worked Monday, was sick Tuesday and Wednesday. It was terrible nausea and a headache. I chalked it up to detoxing from being around the public on Monday. I'm not sure if the new vax was out on Monday. Well, it was here.
Go ahead.
They have been out a week or so in Edmonton, Alberta. I'm hearing sirens constantly. My hubby has had to go to the office every other day because his completely sleeping and jabbed parents are on vacation in Europe. He works for the family business from home, but it's just his parents in the office, so he has to go in while they're gone on their vacation. He has been feeling off. He's detoxing, but the building shares an air system with all the other units, so he cannot avoid shedding right now. What timing? Right at the new bioweapon rollout.
For sure it is. I know my exact symptoms, and it has happened so many times. Dizzy, sneezing, exhaustion, beyond anything I have ever known. Bloating and eventual back and pelvic pain that is crippling because spike settles in your weak spots. Migraines went through the roof after shots came, and my vision went to hell. Even ophthalmologists are seeing this. And someone added to that, a new COVID shot for the new variant launched yesterday in Germany. So they are rolling it out worldwide.
Go ahead. And one more. More people are getting shots. The ones working on me haven't gotten the shots yet, but I'm getting pain tenfold more than ever, severe pain from sacrum to feet. Been spending all day doing different things to get rid of pain. Takes me two to four days to lessen totally. Almost got rid of most of it, and then had to go to therapy again, now loaded with pain. I don't know how to stop or prevent it. I've tried hundreds of supplements, minerals, baths, protection, etc. It seems to be building and getting worse in September when they started pushing the vax.
What we're talking about and trying to get across, I think, more than anything right with this particular little section, is that the people who are getting the shots will be shedding, as is always the case, most intensely, as we commonly hear, for 2 or 3 weeks after getting injected. Now, we don't know what's in this new injection, precisely. But if they've done anything, if I were behind it and I were trying to spread this around, what would I do? I would try to increase the shedding aspect of it somehow, maybe by producing more spike, some other object that is being otherwise disgorged from the body through exhalation, body, all body fluids, touch. And you know that proteins, you've learned that. We've shown you videos and things. This stuff goes right through your skin, spike proteins, no problem, right through. It's like a BB through a tennis net.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yep.
So you've got to wear a mask, wear gloves. I know that sounds, we don't mean big construction gloves, but something you can keep in the car if you have to go into the store. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to wipe down some of your purchases, the containers they're in, when you get home. What would you suggest they use to wipe them down with if they're going to do that?
Just a dilute bleach of some sort should take care of it. Maybe alcohol, but...
Just put a little bleach in the kitchen sink water and get some.
Or get a spray bottle and just spritz it. Put the stuff in the sink and spritz it, let it sit for a few and rinse it off.
Sorry if that sounds a little overboard, but we're playing with deadly issues here. Not a joke. This is not like getting the flu and it's going to go away. None of these vax injured are miraculously returning to their full and vibrant, vigorous health that we're hearing about. Once in a while you say, oh, well, I've heard that such and such is feeling much better. Well, those are usually symptoms. Remember? They're not the causes. Mm. I feel better. That means my symptoms were making me feel poor, Lee, and now I feel better. So it's just all about symptomology. And again, just to repeat, the shots can take your body out of the symptomology business entirely. Or virtually entirely.
That's right.
So
not having symptoms is not necessarily an indication that you're not being harmed.
We are in uncharted territory. The spike protein and these injections are the deadliest, most horrific thing that humankind has ever created. And I have my own feelings about that. But so be careful, everyone, wherever you are. And you people who are vaxxed, don't give up. Keep trying with the supplements. Keep your system well nourished as much as you can. BioSuperfood is a phenomenal product. Allicin C, I am suggesting people take at least one Allicin C capsule a day. And BioSuperfood, I take 7 or 8 of those a day. They're little tiny things. Because I'm getting nutrition I would otherwise never get from the so-called Great American Diet. Never. All right, that's it. Great job. Pretty tough territory to walk through.
Yeah, so be prepared for the shedding. I had no idea there would be this many people just lining up for these things again.
Yeah, well, that's the reports we just read just from the first few days after.
Yeah, first week.
Roll these things out. It's not fully rolled out either. Not by a long shot.
No.
Oh, my. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay. We'll be back with more in a few minutes, another hour to go. Do share this program. It's important. Very critical information in it. Take care. Talk to you in a few minutes.